Welcome back
to the Charles Owen.
Oh, good.
Owen experience.
Sick.
What's up, mate? All good?
Should we restart?
Nah. You want some of your drink or not?
Go on then. I'll just have a little sip before we get going.
Yep. Before we get started. Good drink.
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually.
Protein in that.
Yeah, there's protein in that. Yeah, nice. There's a lot of protein. Guys, that's the white stuff, right?
Exactly. Guys, welcome back. Remember, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify. Do all of that now. If you're listening on Spotify, top right-hand corner, press the three dots, press the stars, subscribe. Check the links below. There's lots of DVDs there.
Buy Charles's DVD. He made all of £20 last month.
Yeah, big win on that. Big income.
Yes,
from
so.
BJJ Fanatics.
Maybe we're going to upgrade, I don't
to
know.
To a bigger studio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or just.
Let's go to Mayfair, yeah.
Our whole lives, you can buy a Ferrari, I'll get a Ferrari.
Mental stability. That's
Can't
how it
wait.
Goes.
It will be entertaining once I get a Ferrari.
How's the week been, chap?
So far, so good. I've been training every day. I train very hard. Today, I didn't train so hard because I was kind of tired, you know. From the rest of the week, y'all really tired. But then at the end of the week,
wow,
I'll be taking a little,
up, yeah.
I'll be taking a little sabbatical. I hit, you know, the 50s on the dumbbell press. I was very happy with that, mate. You fucking.
How many sets did you have the 50s?
One.
Fantastic. Still,
yeah, you know, I did 47s for two. It's all on the board, mate. Fuck, I forgot to write stuff on the board. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all on the board, so.
Great job.
Yeah, you'll see it, man. Thanks, everyone. Write in how good a job I did, what your favorite part of my body is. That kind of stuff. It's cool though if you don't have a favorite part.
It's like, cool. You can still write what you think.
Yeah, what you'd think I want to hear or anything really. How about you, Char? Any?
What's the highlight of the week for me?
No, what's your favorite? Okay, yeah, go on.
Okay. Back at training now. The ankle is pretty good.
It looks really good.
It feels absolutely fine. I think I trained on Monday. I can't remember.
We trained, yeah. And we trained on Wednesday.
We did train on Wednesday.
Monday you weren't there, but Wednesday
was
we trained.
Was I not there on Monday? What,
yeah. Don't think so.
No, I was.
Maybe you were, but we didn't train. Maybe we did. I don't think we did. I think Wednesday we trained though. Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Anyway, we trained. Mm-hmm. It's been a good week.
Fantastic.
Everyone's looking good on the online program. A few fellas hurt their backs. Yeah, it just happens.
So losers.
You got to work your way around it. Crispy hurt his back. One of the other fellas hurt their back. And you've just got to work around that. I said, mate, reduce some of the axle loading on your back. Take a bit of time off. Hit some conditioning work. It will settle.
Do
some ab work. Get in the lower back thing. I just send them across my YouTube video. They do that. They get better. 1 or 2 weeks, they're back at training. It's all good.
I got blocked.
Yeah, you got blocked by Steven Seyoum.
What the fuck?
He hates you.
I fucking love that page as well. Genuinely.
Top banter, that fella.
Genuinely, I really like the posts. I found them so informative. They were almost as good as yours, mate. So every time, like, maybe something of yours wasn't coming up, I'd go to his page and like everything and promote it as much as possible. And now, you know, you've lost a friend and a follower. And
happens.
Yeah, you know,
that is devastating.
Banter on 10, I guess. What a shame. Well, let's.
I feel sorry for you, Matt. At least we can still look at his page from Crispy's account. That's
I have other pages, so and he's got an open page. So there's no point blocking someone if you've got a if you've got an open page. You know, the Instagram accounts I like to go on and post like sexist or racist or like homophobic stuff. We've all got those, right?
Yeah. That's a private account.
I go to a library and then I sign into the Wi-Fi and then you know. Anyway, whatever.
Shout out Kanye West.
I won't get into it, but you get the idea, right? I can still see your page.
Yep. All right. Well, should we do some questions?
Nah. All right, go on, Char.
We'll keep chatting away. Oh, actually, next week, the fans will be happy with this. We've got a podcast with Dima and Joseph Chan, which will be fantastic.
Yes.
I think Dima will be good. Apparently, there's a bit of controversy with him.
Yeah, a lot of people dislike him for, basically, I feel like maybe a lapse in phrasing of saying that he coaches people. He did coach them, to be fair to him, but obviously when you say that someone is your student, people are like, oh, well, he's also this and this is student. So people got a bit annoyed and understandable, but also I don't feel like he's actually doing any harm to the jiu-jitsu community.
We'll chat with him next week.
We'll see.
Shall be revealed.
We'll put him on the hot seat. Yeah. Eh?
What do you fucking think of this,
yeah,
mate?
Go on, fucking answer to this. All right, should we do a question or just keep insulting people? Oh, I have a... first of all, buy my DVD because you know, the Fanatics money, it's all right, but I haven't quite got a Ferrari yet, so I feel like I'm losing my mind.
I feel like you actually could buy a Ferrari if you wanted to. Technically, you could.
I could probably get it on like a monthly finance. How much is it monthly finance?
I don't know. Yeah,
like a grand a month.
It'd probably be like 1,500 to 2,000.
Yeah, I could have it for a bit.
Yeah,
I could have it for a bit of time
until you buy more.
I'd have to cut down the saucy sauce and the nice cheese and stuff.
Yeah
that would go be on. A real
what,
shame.
What are you hitting next?
All right, I was about to say September 6th to 10th, Malaga.
I'll be there, champ.
You can smoke drugs there. It's legal. You can like kill people. It's legal for one day a year in Malaga. And yeah, we'll be doing a summer camp. It's in Torremolino in Santeri's gym. So not only will you get Max Bigotin and Silvio, but you will get two-time EU trials champion Santeri coming to the training sessions. And you can, you know, even if you don't like training yourself, you can just smoke weed and watch other people train, or you can just watch Santeri fucking people up, or any of the rest of us fucking people up, or maybe we'll get tapped by one of the people who come. But if you tap us, you're never coming again.
What about Leuven?
BJJ Focus Camps. Oh, yeah, Leuven. Yeah, that's happening as well. Yeah, BJJ Focus Camps, 9th to 14th of June. It's probably too late to get the cheap tickets now, but you can get the cheap tickets to Malaga, fucking 200 quid for 10 sessions. That's just ridiculous.
That like,
we're barely profiting.
Does my
profiting.
Microphone even work? Yeah, it is.
Profiting £1 million each. Okay. Who feels stronger on the mat, Silvio or Mark McQueen? Shout out Mark McQueen. Sports develops strength versus powerlifting. I'm sorry to say, Silvio, that Mark McQueen is definitely stronger than Silvio. One thing that I'd say, though, is that Silvio probably has more muscle endurance, i.e. the only time I've ever seen him mildly tired or maybe I broke his posture was when he was ill.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I don't know about Mark. I don't think I'd ever break his posture, but maybe he'd get tired eventually.
Have we seen, did Silvio roll with Mark McQueen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Mark is stronger than Silvio.
Yeah, yeah. That's safe to say. And he's got like 30, 40 kilos on him. Shout out Mark McQueen. We love that guy.
Euros trials champ. Champ.
All right. Best bodyweight exercise for BJJ. I wouldn't say there's one particular best exercise. There's a whole host of them. If you're going to do a
post
bodyweight
incoming.
Workout.
Post incoming. Post is coming now.
Post. I've already done one.
Forced to post on this. A repost.
Pull-up variations could be fantastic. Single leg squat variations are great. You could do Cossack squats, Nordics, single leg squats, single leg squat variations. If you had body weight only, to be honest, mate, what I'd look to do is learn how to do a front lever, learn how to do a planche, learn how to do really good handstands, learn how to do complete single leg squats, and then adding a little bit of load to the single leg squats. And then obviously getting the pull-ups really good and dips really good and learning how to do different variations of dips where you really have to fucking open up the shoulders. Korean dip variations are very good. Horizontal back press variations. Basically, just train like a gymnast if you only have bodyweight variations available, because that will get you really fucking strong. Muscle ups on the rings too.
Tendons are dead, man.
Mate, tendons will be off the chain. The thing is, it takes a long time to do and it's pretty boring, but if that's all you've got available, go check out gymnastics bodies. Gymnastics bodies, gymnastics strength training. Oh. Yeah. What?
I thought you were just going to stop at bodies.
Oh, yeah. No, gymnastics strength training, gymnastics bodies.
Check out gymnastic bodies.
Yeah, I did that for like 2 years. It was fucking
just
good.
Just checking out gymnastic bodies. Yeah. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, look at this man.
Oh, fucking good. All right. They've added a swear word in here. I'll abbreviate it. Yeah. I effing hate 50-50. How do I make it fun and not want to kill myself? Good Lord. When I'm in the position. God, well, suicide rates are pretty high in young men in there. Young men. So take it easy, champ. Maybe avoid the 50-50. Honestly,
bit of therapy by
like
sounds
to
of
pass the leg from 50-50 across to the other side.
That's the easy. That's that solution that's done.
Yeah. Like 50-50 is good for tipping someone over. And if they stay standing, it's easier to expose the heel. Outside ashi is good when they are in a seated position and you can keep them seated. Then you have the ability to move around the leg as your hip, your legs are not also like controlled by their leg. You know, your legs are both on the outside, so you can spin to saddle. You can attack the outside heel hook. Yeah. So, but actually once someone's standing, if you're in outside ashi, I find it pretty hard to actually get enough off balance to take people down, especially if they're long limbed. So 50-50 as a brief thing. And it's hard if you get to 50-50, they just grab your head and they kick you in the face and they kick you in the armpit and they recross their legs. So fuck all that, mate. Go to double 50, go to outside ashi.
Sweet.
Sweet. Totally.
That's totally wild, man.
That's rod.
What are the key differences in S&C training for BJJ compared to MMA? That's actually a really good question. I would say for MMA, you could do the same training that we do now for the fellas and still do get very good results for MMA, to be fair, I think. For MMA, would you want to train, you know, quickly and explosively? You get that from pliers. I think you could do the same shit, because think of it this way. As an MMA practitioner, you're still going to be relatively new to strength training. So whatever you do, you're going to get good results with. So
what about hand pliers?
You could do some hand pliers, yeah. I'd say you'd probably benefit from like definitely doing a bit of fast upper body work. So like some explosive push-ups, going into a deep stretch, pushing back out of it. So like that, like we do deep tier pliers, you're getting into end range and you're pushing out of it. You could do some variations of that with some push-ups and other body weight variations. Mainly just push-ups, really, because anything else is just going to hurt your wrists and elbows and hands. For the most part, I don't think it needs to be tremendously different. You just need to work around your injuries.
Higher cardio requirement.
It is a different energy requirement. That's a big difference.
Yeah, so much like, less. Yeah, holding.
Yeah, much less holding. You'd benefit from probably doing some different style of conditioning work, you know, like 4 to 10 second blitzes followed by long periods of like medium to long periods of rest, and then work on just getting those blitzes really, really effective. Although if you're not super explosive at the best of times, then it doesn't really matter. You'll still benefit from longer styles of cardio and just building your overall gas tank. Mm. If we look at Dricus du Plessis, when he fought Strickland, obviously he had his nose thing. He spent a long time just on the fan bike, building up his gas tank, building up his general cardiac output, which is, you know, your longer style of cardio is 30 to 60 minutes plus. So if you build that gas tank up, that's going to allow you, your body's ability to, you know, get more oxygen to the blood.
When I was training at Shoot, they were big fans of the Assault Bike, the VersaClimber, and they did plyos every single warm-up. There was a section of normal warm up, and then there was a sort of blast section at the end. I don't know why I'd call it blast. It's just a heavy cardio session at the end where it's like tuck jumps. We don't really do tuck jumps here. Is that a medium tier?
Tuck jumps would definitely be a medium tier.
Like without a break jump in between. Just that was very good. That was very good. Actually, I noticed that doing the warm up every day helped a lot in terms of physical and athletic ability.
Yeah, especially if you're doing like pliers.
Yeah, yeah.
So like what Matt Nicholas Watson says, the plier guy, I was chatting to him about it, doing your pliers at the, especially the deep tier work, but I guess you could do the light and medium tier work at the end too. Do it, practicing the pliers at the end of a workout has good like transfer to being able to produce energy a bit quicker when you are tired.
Maybe we should, I'm already tired, I guess.
You're already
here.
Tired when you come in, so.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, great.
We sometimes do that, do we not?
What?
Do the deep tier work at the end? No, I usually do that when I train sometimes. Do it with Big House a couple of times.
As in the pliers at the end of the workout?
Deep tier at the end.
Yeah, we don't do that. But we do it after the light and medium.
It all has a good effect.
Yeah,
it all comes out. What are the main differences? I would say you are going to have a different energy demand. You are going to have a different energy demand, but you still need to build a good cardiac output. Some good lactic threshold stuff. Lactic threshold, you know, being 60 seconds of work. What, 60 seconds of 2 minutes of work followed by 60 seconds of 2 minute rest. All of it will still be of benefit. And I really do think the way we kind of train, an MMA fighter would benefit just as well from that kind of training. Mm. I really do. It doesn't need to be as different as you think. Same for wrestling. You just need to get fucking strong and be able to move your body well through space and you'll be good. That's it.
Right.
I've got a few MMA fellas on the program and they fucking love it.
They fucking love it. Right. How to deal with ops who don't tap to...
Is this mic working? Well, I'm fucking panicking. Go on.
It looks really good, Chart. You just have to scream really loudly.
Like this?
Yeah, perfect.
Wasn't that loud?
That wasn't even that loud. Cool. How to deal with ops who don't tap to joint lock submissions in comps.
We said this kind of last body, but go on.
Did we? Yeah, just have to break it really hard. And then, like, if they're still not tapping... Then yeah, you need to try to think about using the break. What I find is that people who let their shit break will let one bit break, but they won't let like two bits of their body break. You know, if you pop one thing and they carry on for a bit. The next time you get a sub on them, they tend to tap because they know you'll just break the next bit as well. If like, honestly, nothing is worth letting like two or more of your limbs get broken in one go. So if someone's willing to let two or more of their limbs get broken, you already won. Just relax. You won the match. There's no amount of prize money that's going to make that worth it. I mean, like 150K, maybe like 500K a mil. These sort of prize monies maybe, but as the sport stands, there's no way that will give you that kind of money. So basically, yeah, like try to do more chokes, I guess. Try to win on points, decision. Like if you're losing and you're breaking people, then it either means that, I guess, you got subbed and just tapped because you don't want to break your own limb, which is realistic and fair, or you were down on points and you shouldn't really be down on points in general. Like that's already like you're kind of losing the match.
Shameful.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Try choking more. What can I say? It's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Tell Owen to do Polaris before the tunnel people find him next.
Are they coming for me?
This guy fucking thinks so.
Fucking hell. Well, we should have DM'd me or something. If he knows something, tell me.
Better guys. Get on the Polaris event.
Yeah, it's under 80 though, so I'm not really going to do that.
Ah, okay. Any advice on get? You could just get tonsillitis again.
That wasn't even enough.
Any advice on getting back into strength training and BJJ after a bout of long COVID? I would just, mate, just go in and take it easy. But whatever your frequency was before you had your long COVID, just cut it down by at least 50%, maybe even 70%. Start with that for a week, build it back up slightly, and then you just chip away.
I mean, what's really the risk of, you're not going to get a heart attack, are you? Unless you're like really old or cokehead or something. So you may as well just push your cardio, right?
Well, he's just going to be shit. Like, it's just going to be awful. So like, you just got to accept that it's going to be shit. So I don't know, just take it.
Kamshot Chimaev had long COVID in one lung or something like that, and he still managed.
He's a freak. He's a professional athlete. I assume this geezer is not a professional athlete. He's a hobbyist. So, mate, just go.
Change job?
Just change job.
Just change job? What the fuck?
Just do 3 times a week jiu-jitsu. Just know that you're going to be shit. It will get better. 2 to 3 times a week weight. You'll be shit. It will get better.
What follows rain?
Shit.
A rainbow, mate.
Oh, you said that to me the other day.
A rainbow follows rain, mate. So maybe that's all you had to say. And
there it is.
Yeah.
What follows long COVID?
Allah Rainbows. Gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers, bro.
Shout out Ramadan. Ramadan, yes, right now.
Shout out to Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Right. How to prevent someone pushing their foot against your butt to remove knee line when in saddle.
You love that.
So, right? One is you need a bend in the leg so that there's tension. Second is if your knee is pointing away, so that, let's say you have saddle, you want your knee, your reaping knee, in line with their knee. Do you understand? You want your reaping knee in line with their knee. If it's pointed in, then it will give their second foot access with a stomp to kick you in the butt. So the problem is that you're probably too far away. No one's able to stomp with power when their foot is close to their butt like this. They need to get their knee in line. So as long as your knee is past however close, you know, their foot goes to their other leg. So if your knee is here, their foot can only go to here. You won't get stomped in the butt. And that's my answer.
Close the gap, close the distance.
Yeah, you need to flare your knee more and you need to keep it in line with their knee. So your finish position in saddle is probably off a little bit, basically.
Fucking sick.
Sick. Really good, man.
Thoughts on being allowed to... I just said it was good, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thoughts on being allowed to drill what you want rather than being taught to improve faster. What do you think, Flyer?
I actually think that's fine. Especially like, okay, I'll caveat that. You need to be doing stuff that is like recognized as good. You can't just be like, I saw this on the gram, instead of doing what the teacher showed you. Unless your teacher is actually a fucking like an idiot, then like you may as well just do anything else. But if your teacher's any good, has won some competitions, I think you should probably listen to or do what they're showing. If you're not going to ask him, if you're going to ask him and he says, yeah, just do whatever you want, then just do whatever you want. But if you're not going to ask them, at least make sure that what you're doing is like certified a good drill, shown by someone who's, you know, maybe second best or first best in the world, or, you know, someone that's won some competitions, or at least someone who watches loads of DVD and is able to regurgitate it properly.
Fair play.
Yeah. Like, otherwise, just, you're probably going to do something, like, it's very easy to do stuff wrong, so, and make yourself worse.
Be like,
yeah, like you said, saw it on the gram. I'm going to practice this. Well, it's like, well, who showed it?
What's yeah, who showed it? Just some random guy who did it on his mate once, or drilled it and said like, oh, this kind of works in a drill, and then they literally never tried it once in sparring.
It just looks good on an Instagram reel. It's very
Looks logical. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's never going to work.
I've seen your posts on single leg / hinge work and overhead superset. Would you alternate them? Sure. You could do some single leg / hinge work and overhead supersets. Would I alternate them? Definitely, yeah. You could do some reverse lunges with some overhead pressing. You could do some reverse lunges with some pull-ups. Heck, if you're slow on time, you could just do some reverse lunges with some gun work, to be fair. Up to you. It doesn't have to be an overhead superset. I just choose the overhead superset because we don't really have time to get it in anywhere else. Sometimes we do overhead work before we do bench press sometimes. Hopefully that was useful. Next question.
Yeah, hope. All right, preferred way to come on top from saddle. Well, I've been showing a lot of this recently. So I like to hold the knee of the secondary leg, post my other hand on the floor, like get like a butterfly saddle where you have your hook behind, so open wedges, and then you just press up into them to win the sweep. And that is it. If they attack your arm that's holding the knee, you go body lock and attack the guard pass. And if they don't do anything, then I like to go for the legs and try to finish. Watch Gordon versus Deniz. Or Gordon versus Bo Nickel. Or Gordon versus Roberto Jimenez.
Good match.
Yes, good match. Great to study for that particular one. Should I go again? That was an easy one.
Go again, chap.
Easy, mate. Easy. After a knee injury / ligament, can it be after a ligament injury? Can it be 100% again? I would say yes. Yes. It depends how bad.
What was the question, sir?
After a knee or ligament injury, can it be 100% again? Yes. Surely. If you've injured it 1%, there's no reason it can't heal 1%. And by that logic, if you've injured it 99%, there's no reason it can't go back to 100%. I would say so. Maybe it could even go stronger. From what I understand, when the tissues break, there is scar tissue that replaces it. If you do the rehab as it's being, recovered, like as the scar tissue is being put in, the strands will go in the correct direction because all the waist strands that aren't pointing in the right direction will get torn off as you do the rehab, and only the stronger strands will remain. And the process will continue to happen like that until you only have strands pointing in the correct direction and meshing together properly.
Did you read the Jake Tura posts?
I don't even know who the fuck that is, mate.
The guy I showed you the other day at lunch.
I didn't read that, mate.
Damn, okay.
But that's what I believe.
Check out
in my heart.
Check out Jake Tura.
You showed me it, yeah.
His Instagram, yeah, yeah. He posts a lot about tendon rehab,
yeah,
and like the actual science. Of what's
the only one that I saw was something about having more of the smaller ones rather than them being necessarily pointed in the same direction. Is that the same thing?
I'll fuck it up by saying it, but like basically, if a tendon fucking like splits, a bunch of shit's gonna get in there and it's gonna just like inflame and get full of water, and basically you want to try and get those strands to come back together so they can mesh well and become strong.
Yeah, and the rehab will get rid of the waste strands. Only the better strands will be together. Look, mate, we're medical professionals. You're asking the right people.
Jake Tura, he did a good podcast with Dev Gray, Matt McInnes Watson. Go listen to that. I rate that podcast.
Ferrari. Would you rather have absurd steroid strength or like 10 out of 10 autism? What's better for jits? To be honest, it depends on the time frame. Like,
how old are you?
Yeah, like 45. Probably in general for a day or two or like a week or a month, I'd like to have absurd steroid strength just to see what it feels like, and then go back to 10 out of 10 autism. But I wouldn't want to be autistic my whole life. Although you'd probably get the most jiu-jitsu benefit from 10 out of 10 autism. But then I feel like people who are 10 out of 10 autism don't really, they kind of plateau after a while, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. The autism gets the better of them and they stop, they stop winning stuff. They just get too bogged down and neurotic about it all. they don't let go. That's why the perfect combo
there are some characters who have seen who it's happened to.
Yeah. They're just too neurotic. And then that's it. Their career goes down the toilet. That's when they should probably start on a juice.
Yeah, to boost it up a bit.
To boost, not just the autism, but from the injections, but also the like letting loose and just having a go.
Yeah. Are there any exercises / pliers that would help improve balance for BJJ? Yes.
Balance.
Light tier, medium tier, deep tier pliers. All of those tiers will help with your balance and ability to feel like you're fast and more mobile for jiu-jitsu, in my opinion. Yep.
Yeah, they all help, don't they?
They all help. Get strong on single legs, get strong on two legs. Get strong at pushing things, get strong at pulling things.
All the sideways ones.
But be able to move your spine side. Lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep tier lateral. I imagine movements. Something like lateral swan hops would be very good. We haven't done those. I don't even know if they exist, but
something like that would seem very
difficult and, challenging.
Yeah, light, medium, deep tier pliers. Even ping tier. We got some ping tier coming up next week.
Ooh.
Get into it.
I don't know if I can do any harder than when I'm doing the medium tier, but it's cool.
Yeah. That's probably ping tier then, Chief.
When did you first start competing? I did my first judo competition when I was 4.
You cried, didn't you?
Yeah. You?
I did my first jiu-jitsu competition at 18.
What about 19. Any other competitions?
Oh, I played sport since I was like 5 years old.
What sport is that?
Gunfighting. Now, is knife fighting a sport in Australia?
Yeah, I won the sport championships.
I played cricket. Football. Basketball. I did a lot of sport as a kid. Actually, to be fair, I played a lot of basketball.
I
fucking love basketball. Actually, my favorite sport to play, to be fair.
More than jiu-jitsu?
No.
All right, me neither.
Yeah.
But I could run fast and for long times, so that helped me with the basketball whilst everyone was a fat prick.
Yeah.
But
white
men can't jump, right? That is a fact. How do I prevent my opponent from entering backside 50-50 when I have knee on belly? Keep your knee pointed between their legs and try to drop down rather than going to a knee on belly, try to drop down to a pseudo side control where you bring your knee like between their legs, kind of like the opposite of a leg drag, where leg drag, your knee goes from behind their legs through the legs. This one, your knee goes from in front of their legs through the legs and you pin them.
Say that again.
Your knee goes from, let's say, knee on belly. It could go this way or your foot's here, knee on belly, pseudo side control. And that's it.
There you go.
Or you can, if you feel like they're managing to get their hips off the floor, you can try to go to north south and work from there. You can try to pin the bottom leg and duck under the far leg. You can try to stuff your head in the stomach. You can try to disengage and re-engage. But yeah, generally it's pretty hard to go to knee on belly unless you, someone's tired and their knees are on the floor, kind of, their feet are on the floor. It's hard.
Chart knee on belly.
Knee on.
Do you rate knee on belly as a move? You like it? Do you think it's better than the side control?
It's not something that I'd be in for a long time, basically. I'll be there for like less than a second or just a second or two.
You'd be doing it to set something up. Do you even spend much time in side control? No. You go to north south.
Well, why would I spend time in side control?
You tell me.
If I had the cross face and underhook, I'll go to mount. If I don't have a cross face and underhook, you kind of have to go to north-south or else they're going to bring their knees back in. So basically, side control,
cross face and underhook. If they don't have that, go to north-south.
Yeah.
If you don't have that.
If you don't have the cross face and underhook, they'll replace the guard pretty easily because they'll be able to turn their shoulder in to face you. So you have to go to north-south to keep, diagonal control.
Mm.
And if you do have the cross face and underhook, I'll just try to go to mount most of the time. There are times where I'll try and go directly to the back, but I'd say against the better players, I always try to go to mount first and then wake from there. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, not a massive fan of the old side control. There's I guess it's like one step away from back being in guard, but mount is maybe slightly further away.
Yep. Facts.
Facts.
How much does mental fatigue affect your ability to train well or likelihood of getting injured? I would say a lot, to be fair. reaction time, decision making. I went to training a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely fucking fried. That's the day of my football.
Mentally?
I was exhausted, mate.
Physically, though?
Both.
I feel like mental fatigue and physical fatigue are one and the same.
Yeah, because they both feel the same. If you feel mentally fucked, although I see it all the time in the gym, some people come in absolutely fried, and once they get start working out, they start getting warm.
Yeah,
they fucking blitz it.
Yeah, they do well. Yeah, yeah. Like really, if you've had a 9-to-5 job, you and your body's not tired.
Yeah,
then you should be all right. If you're tired from not sleeping, then that's when the risk comes.
That's a different story. Physically tired too. Yeah, but mentally fatigued. Yeah, I'd say mentally fatigued. I think once you get a good warm up in, you start moving a little bit, take it easy for the first couple of rounds, or just get a sweat going and then start getting into it, I think you'd be okay.
It's a good question. Let's say you're studying for an exam for 6 hours and then you go straight to jiu-jitsu class, and now you've got to study something different, but you also still have to learn. Mm. That's probably still pretty difficult. But then the actual sparring component, I don't see why that should be. I mean, if you're really concentrating when you spar, then yeah, it's kind of also like a test, like learning, etc. But for the most part, it's not like learning in the same way where you're like actively looking at something, trying to remember it, and then try and regurgitate it.
Yeah, it just depends like how you're reacting as well. Like, once you've got a sweat going, even if you're mentally,
that's what it's all about.
Is that competitive exercise, right?
No, man. Yeah, yeah.
I think once you do have a sweat going, it'll clear up the mental fog a bit. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Can do. And yeah, if you...
BPMs.
Yeah, I guess if you're sweating, it's very hard to...
Still be absolutely...
Have a brain fry moment. Yeah, because your brain is oxygenated. I guess you're going to be a bit more lively than before you were sweating.
Yeah. Unless you just start making stupid reactions and stupid decisions. And then injury risk can go up.
Yeah, then you've got to recognize the times when you're going to get injured and be like, oh, I better cool off a little bit.
Yeah.
Go to the corner. I've got a hot head.
I guess most of the injuries happen. What would you say most of the injuries happen in jiu-jitsu? High intensity scenarios?
No, just dehydrated. Yeah, that's it. Just like your ligaments suddenly being weaker than they were before.
Mm.
Yeah, because like most of the time it's not going to be a scissor sweep or jumping closed guard. Like that doesn't actually happen that often.
Yeah.
But injuries happen all the time, and it's mostly like slightly tired or slightly dehydrated or something like that. And then you didn't expect it to pop and it pops. Every time.
Yep. That's more physically tired though.
Yeah, but sleep deprivation could be...
Sleep or...
That makes you lazy in a way.
Yeah, mental fatigue, yeah. So I would say it does definitely affect your chance and increase the risk of being injured, no doubt.
But yeah, how do you get mentally fatigued? Like, that's the question. If you're talking about sleep deprivation, that's everything encompassing.
Yeah.
But just mental fatigue.
I'd say for the office worker, you just come in, you're just like, man, I've been fucking concentrating. I'm just really fucking tired. But the body will be okay. Again, what you said before. Get into the movement, get sweat going.
Yeah. And then you can kind of switch off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're not going to get better at jiu-jitsu that way, but you will get a good workout.
Yeah.
What's
it all about?
It's all about BPM, getting a sweat on, going home. At what angle do stairs become ladders? See, I don't agree with the premise of the question, because if you look at a staircase, they're not just like sticks across each other, which is like a ladder. You know, if you had a ladder at like 45 degree angle, that wouldn't be stairs. That would just be a ladder at a 45 degree angle. So they never do.
They never would.
They never would.
The stair would have to have that bit that sticks out.
Yeah, the key difference between a stair and the ladder is that the step is thicker.
It's the composition of the
step is thicker.
Yeah,
so you can fit your whole foot on the step, which means you don't need your hands to balance. If you're just going to balance on the small pole that is a ladder's step without your hands, you're likely to fall off.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm speaking for everyone here.
Speak for yourself.
Unless you're a circus freak or something. Are you, Char?
Yeah, I am. Advice Fair for play. Just starting leg locks and leg entries, specific drills and exercises to start with. Listen to your coach. Watch some instructionals. Surely instructionals are at the top of that list.
Yeah. Specific drills. Yeah, instructionals and just doing leg lock specific training where you're just like, all right, we're going to start in this position. Then you start in this position. Then I start in this position. You start in this position. feel like people say that they do this and in their head they get to it in sparring, but you never just do one for one on outside ashi, one for one on saddle, one for one on this and that. That needs to happen more often. And then you'll find that you get better at leg locks very quickly.
What specific sparring? One for one?
Yeah, one for one specific sparring. And also maybe do sometimes with someone that's better than you and they'll coach you, and sometimes with someone that's worse than you and you can coach them. You notice mistakes that they make when you're with the shit, the less important shitter piece of shit. And then when you're the less important shitter piece of shit, then your coach will be telling you mistakes that you're making. So, you know, you improve through that and you improve through noticing mistakes. Cool. I'll do one more question and then, yeah, I mean, then I've run out of questions. If you stand up, wow, this is from a perfect person.
Making good progress here.
It's from a perfect person.
Let's see who's the person.
Perfect. Perfect. If you stand up in 50-50, what can you do to stop them inverting and safely get out? So first, you got to angle your foot away so that it's longer for them to get around that corner. Secondly, you need to, it's counterintuitive, but basically the closer your legs are together, the harder it is to off balance you, right? But then the easier it will be for them to tip you over. So if your legs are close together, hard to off balance, but easier to get tipped over. Another thing, if you are getting off balance, it's safer to sit and cross your legs than it is to try to balance and then give them more momentum to spin through it and expose the heel. Lastly, what you can try to do is rather than come up all the way to your foot, do like it's like a knee down to the floor motion where instead of standing up on your foot, you stand up on your knee and then you sprawl your both butt cheeks through the 50-50 and you end up in a knee bar slash saddle situation. It's like an outside spin from the top position. I hope that makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Retained.
Perfect.
We'll do it tomorrow.
We will. We actually should do that. It's a great move. Maybe I'll start to do that again from 50-50. There you go. Thank you very much for reminding me of that move. I will try it again from 50-50.
Perfect fella for a perfect answer.
He is a perfect man, isn't he?
Let's do it tomorrow, Chief.
He's tall, handsome.
We need to do a...
perfect dookie.
We need to do a...
Well, technique
on Boston teabag.
Yeah, it's been well requested. Yeah. I have more clips of me Boston teabagging. Actually, poor Stefan twice yesterday.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Shameful from Stefan.
Yeah, disgusting asshole.
Let's do last questions, potentially last two questions. Do you need to phase bulking / cutting phases? He says phases twice here. Do you need to phase bulking / cutting phases like bodybuilders do for grappling? No. It depends what the goal is. What weight class you want to stay at? Do you want to put on weight? Do you want to lose weight? It really just depends what you want to do with your body composition. If you do, then for sure you could. You could do that. You could go, I want to put on more muscle, more weight. I'm going to increase my calories by 500 calories a day until I start gaining weight. Keep doing that till you stop gaining weight, then increase it by another 200 to 300 calories.
Right on, sure.
You just keep doing that. Yeah. Same for cutting weight. If you got cut weight for a tournament, start lightly from 8 to 12 weeks up, just very gently, very gentle calorie deficit towards the closing end, 4 weeks out, cut them again slightly down, very slightly. A week out, you should be near enough to the weight you want to be for a grappling tournament within at least 1 to 3% of the weight you want to reach, and then you can start manipulating carbohydrates, fiber intake, and having a play around with some water. And that is it, my friend.
Salt?
You don't really need to be fair. I wouldn't even go that far for a grappler.
Nice click. You got one more question?
Yeah. How to build cardio / endurance for full sparring competition. I get gassed after the first 5 minutes. Is this in competition or is this in training?
I like sparring. Marcelo put a video up of that ages ago. He was talking about, let's say you just want to do jiu-jitsu. Let's say I'm training with a white belt. I could just take it easy and wait for him to make mistakes and sub him. Or I can just press the entire 5 minutes and try to get as much like engagement as possible on my own terms. So rather than waiting for him to make a mistake and just sort of punishing it, just keep pressing forward the entire 5 minutes. You can exhaust yourself sparring against anyone, basically, if you
try hard. I feel like you're good at that, to be fair.
Eh?
Yeah, I feel like you're good at that, to be fair.
If but sometimes...
If the mood is right.
Yeah, if the mood is right, I'll just press the whole time, even though you might get fewer subs that way. Like, it might be better to press a bit and then wait for them to react and then counter...
Depends on the goal, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're just trying to, like, if you feel good and you're just trying to get as much play in as possible, then... Yeah, just go for it. And then when it comes to competition, you have the option of, okay, I'm just going to try and gas this person out, or I'm going to try and just counterplay and basically sub them like a sniper. A sniper.
It's actually a fucking good tip. And it's it is the most sport-specific way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do bikes, you could do cardio, all that kind of stuff, which is great. Although, if you're already very fit, I feel like this is the correct way to go about it.
Press really hard sometimes. And sometimes as well, like, I don't know if it's worth doing this exactly. I don't know the science of it, but sometimes maybe it's worth doing like a really hard 10-minute round where you know you're going to have to rest after it, rather than doing like 5 10s in a row. It might be where you're keeping a pace that you can maintain for 50 minutes straight, because you're never going to do that in competition anyway. Might be more worth going like really hard for 10 minutes where you have to rest the next one, and then going really hard for 10 minutes where you have to rest.
Yeah.
Because it's a different pace.
Sprint training. Yeah. So that's what you do. You have like an absolute sprint, then you'd rest almost like either half or the total time of the intensity done, and you'd come back to it as well. Yeah. So that way you can keep, you can recover enough to again, keep a really high intensity round, which is going to build good endurance around keeping high intensity rounds.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of taking rest rounds, but I also feel like if you're going to press very hard, then sometimes you're probably better off taking a rest round so you can press really hard in the next round. But I wouldn't do that too regularly, because, you know, then you're just basically sparring really hard with everyone all the time and you're well rested between the rounds.
There's going to be like a time and place, like if you've got a super fight coming up and you know it's going to be longer, etc., then that'll be worthwhile. But
pick the partner, make sure they're not just some poor guy who you're just fucking up. It's like, it's got to be someone who also wants to go really hard.
Well done. Yeah. Thanks. So if you're a grappling hobbyist, you could, if you're a hobbyist, you could pick it that way. Or again, you could train with people who are worse than you, train with people who are the same fitness as you, go hard with them. I would say for a hobbyist, you could pick people who are your weight and equally as fit as you, and just go as hard as you can with that person, recover the next round, or go with someone who's less fit than you and worse than you the following round, have more of an active recovery round that one.
But even if they're worse than you, you don't have to win all the time. You can just make action happen, and then anytime you feel like I'm gaining too much and he's getting too tired compared to me, just let them out and go again, so that they're back to a nice position and you have to continue working to keep momentum, rather than just like, what, like, for example, you could get to the back and just rest on someone. If you can just hold someone there, you can just rest if you're getting tired. But if you really have energy left, you should push to try and finish them and waste the rest of your energy. I would also say not to do like one and one. Don't do like 10-minute round on, 10-minute round off. Do like 2 10-minute rounds really hard, and then, or 3 10-minute rounds really hard, then maybe one off or one, you know, kind of resty one.
Fair play.
All right.
Let's finish that. That was
man.
That was our longest podcast in a while.
Forever.
My finger's so sore. I think I've done something to that finger.
Yeah, I remember I brought it here and I twisted it back.
It was painful.
Sorry, Charles.
It was painful before that, yes.
Yeah.
Very.
Maybe you did. It's looking a bit lumpy. Like my creatine. Lumpy.
Fuck, it's painful. Anyway, guys, remember, like, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, do all that. Go buy Christian Osbeck's DVD. He has a very good DVD. It's called Satoshi Ishii, Judo for Olympians. That's guys, you sell DVDs.
I also do DVDs. They're also called Satoshi Ishii Downright Sloppy Half Butterfly Guard. Yeah. There's Satoshi Ishii Countering the Outside Passer. And there's Satoshi Ishii... Fuck, what's the latest one called?
Ishii Bishii. Downright Heel Hooks Sloppy.
Downright Sloppy Outside Heel Hooks. I may have another... Do I have another one?
You have three.
I have three. Yeah, so there you go. That's it. That's the three.
Guys, if you want to get super strong, check out my strength programs. All the links are below. I see that.
Taking me fucking line bike. Bye, Charles.
Yeah, poor timing on that. No, she's gone. He's gone. She's wearing a helmet.
That's
fucking helmet. Fuck off.
Okay.